The Freemasons are a society of secrets that most people in the world have heard of. Most people believe that Freemasonry is just a fraternity, a secret club, if you will, full of old men who hang out together. If you were to ever ask a Mason what do they do in their lodge, you will most likely be told that Masonry is an organization that helps good men become great men and promotes values like honor, responsibility, and charity. But if Masonry was this great organization with such good values, why is it so secretive? Usually when people operate in secrecy, they do it to hide their nefarious behavior. So if Masonry is this society of honor and charity, what do they have to hide? Well, according to a 32nd degree Mason, Masonry isn't as innocent as is portrayed. In fact, he revealed why the organization keeps so many secrets in the first place. After watching this video, you will know what Masonry is hiding and what it's truly about. Hey guys, I hope all is well. Welcome back to The Truth Is, where I drop new videos every other day exposing the truth. In today's episode, we will be talking about an interview a 32nd degree Mason gave exposing the craft. But before we begin, I just wanted to ask you guys to like, comment, and subscribe so we can get this video seen by everyone who needs to see it. I want to thank you all. Now, let's get right into it. No matter what you are told, Freemasonry is one of the most powerful organizations ever created, an old ancient secret society that traces its origins all the way back to the Knights Templars. The Freemasons are the continuation of the Templars and uphold the mission they had hundreds of years ago. Their only goal is to establish a new Masonic world order that is openly Masonic in every way. The creation of America was one of the most important achievements for the Masons in their plans for the new Masonic world order. America was created by Freemasons to be the center of this new world order. This is why those who were the founding fathers of this country were all connected to Masonry. While some of them were open about their alliance, others kept it a secret. As if the world knew that everyone in power in the government was a Freemason, it would raise suspicion and prevent citizens from complying. America is the land of the free, but what most people don't know is that this phrase is rooted in Masonry. The full name of the Freemason organization is the Free and Accepted Masons. The term, Land of the Free, secretly means the Land of the Free and Accepted Masons. For those that have no idea what the Freemasons do, they chase illumination or enlightenment through occult, esoteric rituals, and ceremonial magic. The Masons operate with a degree system, with each degree containing secrets that are revealed only through rituals. The degrees are laid out in this structure. First, you have the first to the third degree, which is considered the Blue Lodge. Once a member reaches the third degree, they become a Master Mason and they're able to continue to climb in degrees. This is when Masonry divides its teachings with two different ritual systems, the Scottish Rite and the York Rite. In the York Rite, there are only 10 degrees in which a Mason can climb to, while in the Scottish Rite, they're up to 33 degrees. Scottish Rite is the most powerful sect of Masonry. Even after the 33rd degree, Masons can continue their hunger for illumination by joining organizations like the Order of the Golden Dawn or other Masonic organizations that are above the 33rd degree. Each Masonic ritual teaches a lesson connected to the secrets of occult magic. Masonry at its highest degree is connected to the Kabbalah, which is a form of Jewish mysticism. The Kabbalah is the practice and study of ancient sex magic, which is done to reach illumination. This was actually confirmed by the Sovereign Grand Master General of the Scottish Rite, Albert Pike, who confirmed that Masonry was just another form of the Kabbalah. Now, what most people have probably heard, and for some reason don't believe, is that Masonry secretly is channeling Lucifer for their illumination. While people think this is just a conspiracy theory, that isn't the case at all. Masonry is, in fact, the channeling of Lucifer as they see him as light. Lucifer literally translates to light bearer. In the Bible, Lucifer is attributed to the serpent, and in the story of Adam and Eve, the serpent offered Eve enlightenment or illumination when he convinced her to eat the fruit from the tree of good and evil. When Eve ate from the fruit, she was illuminated with the knowledge of good and evil, leading to the awakening of man. The only thing is, this illumination came with a horrible price, which was death. If you guys want me to make a full video on the story of Adam and Eve and its occult significance, comment Adam and Eve below. I will gladly make a full video on this if you guys are interested. The story of Adam and Eve is jam-packed with important information that you guys should all know. The story of Adam and Eve is the reason the Freemasons channel Lucifer. Notice that I say channel and not worship, because the Freemasons don't worship anyone but themselves. Lucifer provided man with the forbidden knowledge that made man as gods, just like God stated in the Bible in Genesis 3:22, after Adam and Eve had eaten from the fruit. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is becoming as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." This is why the Freemasons channel Lucifer, because in the Garden of Eden, he led man to the forbidden fruit and introduced them to the knowledge of God. Freemasonry is that serpent, and the members of the lodge represent Adam and Eve searching for knowledge. The degrees in Masonry are the forbidden knowledge. Each degree they climb is like eating from the fruit. Now, what most people don't know is that Freemasons see the uninitiated as the slaves they would utilize to build their great new Masonic world order. This new Masonic world order would be ruled by Masonic law. The main goal of this new Masonic order is to abolish all religions, replacing it with the Masonic religion of self-worship. They want to end individualism for the uninitiated. They will do this by providing one God to worship, one currency to purchase with, and one government to rule over the uninitiated. This was and still is the main mission of Freemasonry. Now, if you don't want to believe me, take it from the mouth of a 32nd degree Freemason. This Freemason gave an interview to a truth seeker named William Cooper. He did this interview anonymously to protect his identity so that he wouldn't be punished for revealing Masonic secrets. In the interview, this 32nd degree Mason uses the alias of William Morgan. William Morgan was a real man himself who infiltrated the Freemasons in order to gather their secrets and write a book about him. He was eventually discovered, and it ended terribly for Morgan, as the Masons made him disappear. Even though they deny having anything to do with his disappearance, the evidence clearly indicates he was in fact punished for breaking his oath. I actually owned the book written by William Morgan exposing the Freemasons' secrets, and I have made some videos on it. Now, before we get into this interview conducted by William Cooper, it's important we speak a little bit about Cooper. William Cooper was a former member of the US military, where he discovered several secrets that made him start to question everything. At first, he discovered information while serving in the military that made him believe America was possibly in a partnership with aliens. Eventually, he discovered that it wasn't aliens America was working with at all. Instead, he was led to discovering that it was all connected to Freemasonry and the Illuminati later in his life. Eventually, William Cooper died after an incident that happened in front of his home with law enforcement. William had dedicated the last years of his life to exposing Masonry and the Illuminati, which is a part of Masonry as well. In this interview, William talks to this 32nd degree Mason, who reveals a lot and confirms much of what I've come to learn about Freemasonry. Let's get into this interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to have as my special guest today, William Morgan, who is one of the members of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence and has been for some time. Now, that's all that we can tell you about his identity. You will hear from him, his own story, what he's been doing, how he's been doing it, what kind of information he has collected for our organization, for the citizens of this country and of the world. And we're going to talk about, well, I guess you just have to call it undercover operation. This man has been undercover for the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. And I remember several episodes of the show before, sometime during the series that we call the Mystery Schools, which we've done, I believe, 19 hours of broadcasting covering that subject. I told you that we had infiltrated the Lodge, the Mystery Schools, Mystery Babylon. In fact, we have not only infiltrated it once, but many times in this country and in lodges around the world. So the information that we're giving you on the Mystery Schools is not conjecture. It does not come from a bunch of people sitting around making up information. It comes from the books printed by the Mystery Schools themselves. It comes from our members who are actually in the lodge, and we check, double check everything that they bring to us. Please welcome to the hour of the time, William Morgan.
Thank you, Bill. You can call me Will, and I really appreciate that gracious and honorable introduction.
Well, we're certainly appreciative of everything that you've done. Tell us, Will, how long have you been associated with the Mystery School?
For over 2 years now. I became a Mason in June of 1991.
And what happened? I mean, how did you ever even know about Freemasonry?
At first, before I was exposed to your information, I was under the impression, as most people are, that they were a philanthropic organization dealing mostly with charity or possibly even in some way associated with unions. And as most CAGI members have come to know, that is entirely not the case.
Did you have friends who were Freemasons?
Yes, I worked with somebody who was a Freemason, and I've come to find out that that is usually the most common way that a person is exposed to the craft as they call it.
So they call it the craft amongst themselves. This is not something that the public is normally aware of. What does the craft mean? What does that term mean?
Well, they consider themselves craftsmen because they're building something, and there have been many organizations throughout history with the incredible similarities to the present modern cult of Freemasonry that have called themselves builders, common scenes. They've associated with themselves always with the erection of a structure or the building of something that people just do not understand. We've come to understand that what they are erecting is the New World Order, and they've been working on it for thousands and thousands of years.
That's correct. Now, did your friend or friends try to proselytize you or talk you into joining the lodge?
No, not at all. I must admit, I did go to them, and I was not entirely aware of the nature of their organization or of what was in store for me when I became a member, or a brother, as they call it.
Now, if you had not joined CAGI, would you still be sort of in the dark about the true meaning of Freemasonry? Or do the members really learn the truth about the organization during their period of time there?
Had I not joined CAGI, I would be as empty-headed and as trusting a sheeple as most of the Freemasons in America and across the world are today. They are not taught what the craft is about. They do not question authority at all. They, as a rule, and from my personal experience and observation, they obey the rules without question and to the letter. But for what the Masons claim to be, they have absolutely no proof or evidence or even works of their own hand to prove that they are actually involved in charity work.
When did you finally decide that that what you were learning in the lodge was really a deception?
The absolute clincher for me, what absolutely decided for me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and yes, I had in my suspicions since I had very first become a member, you don't take blood oaths, kneeling before an altar, swearing yourself to secrecy for all time without without the group that you're becoming a member of being suspect.
But you did take these blood oaths.
Yes, sir. I took all of them, and there were many.
And so by the time you reach the degree level that you are at now, you've taken approximately how many oaths?
I don't even recollect. I know that there were over 24 oaths before you can even become a master mason in a Blue Lodge of Freemasonry, which is a bit like primary school for Freemasons. The Blue Lodge is where they are brought in as new members from off the street, and most men who are involved in Masonry for their lifetimes consider the Blue Lodge to be the heart and soul of Masonry, because that is where it all begins and that is where it all grows from.
But isn't it true that many Masons never advance beyond the third degree and remain in the Blue Lodge forever?
That is absolutely true. Whether or not it's they do not choose to go forth, or whether they're totally unaware that there is anywhere to go, is up to personally the Mason that's involved, but many of them stay right where they're at and seem to be content with what they have.
So these master masons who claim that they know everything about Freemasonry and that they've been a master mason for 20 years, do they really know anything?
They know absolutely nothing. They have been completely deceived from the very first day they entered the lodge. They have been lied to regularly about the nature of the craft, the work of the craft, and the charity of the craft. My own lodge that I'm a member of considers its charity work for the entire last year to be the donation of $100, which is a little more than the dues yearly for three members. They gave $100 to a needy family, and through these very, very shallow and superficial acts, they consider themselves to be one of the greatest charity and brotherhood organizations ever to walk the face of the earth.
A recent thorough investigation of the Shriners, who have literally made their reputation upon the fact that they contribute tremendous amounts of money to charity, but the investigation disclosed that of all the money they take in, less than 3% actually goes to any charity. Were you aware of that?
No, actually I was not. I'm not a member of the Shrine, but I have been exposed to some of their numbers. I was hoping that it would at least be a little bit higher than that, because that says bad things about the Masons who are members of the Shrine. And as most people know, the Shrine is probably one of the largest quote-unquote charity organizations that there is.
And one of the richest. But most of the money seems to go back into the lodge, or to the members, or to the retirement funds, or to the payment of the lodge officers. And this is something else people don't realize, that the lodge officers are paid and they have a retirement fund set aside for them. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. Now, this doesn't apply directly to all officers of the lodge. I myself am an officer of the lodge that I was indoctrinated into, duly elected member. They operate in that kind of manner with elected officials that serve one-year terms. But there is an exception to this rule, and that is the secretary and the treasurer. And the secretary keeps the books, and the treasurer keeps the money. And that points a very big finger as to where the true power in every lodge lies, because these two gentlemen who held these offices usually hold them for years and years and years.
Just so our listening audience realizes that you're not just some yahoo who walked in off the street and went through the first degree and are now on a radio program trying to tell them you know something about Freemasonry. What is the level of your status or your degree, or how high have you progressed through the initiatory levels?
It's not exactly something that any thinking individual would like to brag about, but I have shot like a rocket up the ranks of Freemasonry. Much like in America today, the Masons like to keep their members busy, busy, busy. They don't want to give them time to think about what they're doing, and they don't want to give them time to think about where they're going. They do this by ritual. All of Masonry is tied up in ritual, and you must memorize this ritual, and it is very, very extensive. Each office has its own whole slew of ritual to remember. But I worked hard. I've got a good memory. I rose to the ranks, and I'm now a 32nd degree Mason of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Southern Jurisdiction, United States of America.
And this is the same branch of Freemasonry that Albert Pike belonged to, that created the Ku Klux Klan, the B'nai B'rith, and the branch off the B'nai B'rith called the ADL, or Anti-Defamation League. Is that correct?
Absolutely true. Albert Pike is considered to be a demigod among Freemasons, and actually a source of light all of his own. He took the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which did exist for some time before him, he took it after the Civil War and turned it into what it is today. He incorporated much of the pagan symbology into the degrees that are still used and practiced today. His name is revered. I've seen a bigger than life-size bust of complete bronze of Albert Pike that was created for $25,000. Some of that money was mine, by the way. They treat him next to godhood in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
Were you aware that Albert Pike was in constant communication and in concert with Giuseppe Mazzini in creating, but Albert Pike at one time was the sovereign grand commander of all Freemasonry in the world, and operated in concert with Giuseppe Mazzini in control of what we now know is the world body known as the Illuminati?
The name Mazzini is familiar to me, and I have come across its connection to the Illuminati in my research, but no, I was not personally aware, and this comes as no surprise, because with the exception of my own personal research, most of my information comes from the archives of the lodges I have participated and visited, or from Freemasons themselves, and all information is questionable at best. Never once, with the exception of one word, have I heard any reference to the Illuminati, and yet my own research points exactly in their direction for the true source of the Masons' power and the reason for their concealment. But no, I did not know about Mazzini.
Do the members of the lodge consider themselves to be illumined?
All of them do. Without even knowing the definition of the term, the true definition of the term, they consider themselves illuminated. They go around, they have that secret little smile, and they always talk down about most of the other people in the world, and I've even heard grown men refer to fellow Americans, brothers, as profane, simply because they had not advanced through the ritual of Freemasonry.
Now, this man is no dummy. You have to understand, within 2 years, he has risen from entered apprentice to 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction. Now, that's quite a distinction within the lodge, isn't it?
It can be considered as such. It does get a measure of respect from those who never advanced past the third degree of Master Mason.
And what is the next step?
After the 32nd degree, there is publicly known only one more degree of Freemasonry, and that is the 33rd degree.
And you said publicly known. Does that mean that there's more?
I suspect that there is, that there really is more.
Do you know that for sure?
No, I do not. I do not know it for sure. I've heard there's a man by the name of Reverend Jim Shaw who was he actually still is by a Masonic law, who still is a 33rd degree Freemason. And when he became a 33rd degree, he knew another Mason who was going through the same ritual who said that he was going to advance even further because he had professed a support for the Luciferian doctrine that they preach.
So what you have just said, this is coming from your mouth, a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. You have just said, I didn't prompt you, I didn't ask you the question. In fact, you just surprised me because I was going to lead up to this. But you just said the Luciferian doctrine. Can you explain that?
I can explain that absolutely. Masons believe in light. It is a priority part of their entire ritual. Now, light to a Mason symbolizes knowledge and also intellect. And if you've paid attention to the Mystery School broadcast, you know who the patron god of intellect is. It is Lucifer. And in fact, his very name means the farrier or the bearer of light. Luce is Latin for light and fair for farrier. This is the true god of Freemasonry. And this is also, to my great shame, the god that I knelt at the altar before and swore my blood oath to.
But when you did this, were you aware that you were swearing your blood oaths to Lucifer and not to the god of the Christian Bible?
Absolutely not. Everything about Masonry says and publicly says that their god is the same god as any god, the god of Hindus, the god of Arab, the god of Christians. But it's just not so. It's a lie and it's a scam, and all you have to do is study paganism, nature worship, and the mystery religions of Babylon to see who that real god is.
So you have done this study on your own, and you've checked out the publications and the doctrines and the symbology within your own lodge, and you've arrived at the conclusion that the god of Freemasonry is who?
The god of Freemasonry is Lucifer, who is actually Satan, cast from heaven for one specific reason, and that is because he, like many other Masons, sought to attain godhood in his own time.
And isn't that really the goal of Freemasonry, is by their works they will become God?
Exactly. It is a matter of works. Salvation has nothing to do with it. There is no repentance of sin, and in their minds, mankind was never separated from God, but is able to be an equal to or superior to God.
The only thing that bothers me in the performance of their religion is that they are attempting to control and manipulate the rest of us into a one-world totalitarian socialist government with a one-world religion that we will all have to bow down to, with Lucifer or Satan as the head of that religion, actually incarnated in a human body. They intend to install Lucifer upon the throne of the world. Have you found any credence for this?
I found great credence for this, and the best place to go to confirm this is just pick up the book Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. He himself will state, number one, that Masonry is a religion, and number two, that Lucifer is involved. That is all I needed to confirm my suspicions, and it should be all that is needed to confirm the suspicions of all the other Masons that are out there wandering in darkness, thinking that they are living in illumination.
So, most Freemasons, do they really believe that Freemasonry is a Christian organization?
No, they really don't. They may themselves be Christians, and most in America are, but it is a strict rule and law of the Lodge written into their own constitutions that no discussions or debates concerning religion or politics ever be brought into the Lodge. They do not want your Christianity broadcast. They do not want it mentioned at all. In fact, I have a personal friend of mine who is a police officer in the Lodge, of which I'm a member, and when he was asked in whom he put his trust, he said the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, even though he's a law enforcement officer and vitally important to the New World Order, he has been ostracized, and he has been left out of many of the activities that got me to where I am in the craft today, and I do not think that he will be even allowed to progress any farther because of that.
So if Freemasonry is a religion, yet they accept members, people who go to other churches in the community, in many different religions that have doctrines that don't agree at all, how can they rectify that? I mean, how can you explain this? How can this be?
It just is. And any Mason that holds his religious convictions dear and becomes a member of the Lodge is in direct conflict with his own beliefs and his own faith. The two cannot go together, have never been able to go together, and I don't think they ever will be. And I'd like to ask all of my, well, I'd just like to tell all of my brothers in the Lodges out there, how can you possibly believe that Freemasonry is not a religion? You meet in a Masonic temple, you knelt at a Masonic altar with the Holy Bible, or in other countries, a different holy book, the Quran or many other texts. You knelt there and swore your blood oaths in the name of a deity, and quiet respect is demanded in any and all lodges all over the world, just like in any temple. You have been living a lie, and if you don't wake up pretty soon, the New World Order will turn around and eat your lunch for you.
Isn't it a fact that they believe they're going to be an integral part of this New World Order, however most of them really will not be?
This is the great joke. This is the punchline to the whole affair. They believe and see themselves as the priest and the priesthood of the New World Order. They think that when all things start falling apart, that they are going to be the ones that rise up phoenix-like out of the ashes, bring the world together, and deliver them into the hands of Lucifer. Like I said, they consider themselves builders, and what they're building is the New World Order, and it's being erected like a prison around us even as we speak. And the capstone, and you ought to take a look at the Great Seal of the United States to get a feel for this. The capstone of the New World Order, of the building that they're creating, is actually Lucifer himself.
And isn't that the symbol of Lucifer, the all-seeing eye above the pyramid, the symbol of light? It actually began as the symbol of the sun, which was the symbol of the light, which was the symbol for Lucifer. And over the years, it evolved into an eye. Christians are told that that is the eye of God, but nobody ever bothers to ask which God or who. What's the name of this God? And you know, if a Muslim were to ask in the Middle East, they would say it's the eye of God, and they would think that it was the eye of Allah. And in the Far East, somebody might think it was the eye of Buddha. But this is never explained. In effect, it really began representing the sun. It became the eye. The sun has always been the representation of wisdom or the intellect or knowledge, which is all the Luciferian doctrine. It is the symbol for the light, Lucifer, the fallen angel, the Luciferian philosophy.
These are facts. This is just the way it is. I'm holding in my hand this very moment a official Masonic medallion that is handed out to many Masons as a gift, especially at entered apprentices. At the very top and taking up the main position in this medallion is the all-seeing eye. And this eye is, just as Bill Cooper has said, a combination of the eye of quote-unquote God, and I stress that quote-unquote more than any other, and also it is the sun. It is a symbol of sun worship. The eye that I'm seeing, the lashes on the eye on this medallion that I'm holding are actually the rays of the sun coming down to illuminate the fellow Masons. It is more than just a religion, as Albert Pike has professed. It is the oldest known religion. It is a pagan religion of sun worship. It is nature worship, and it is incredibly dangerous to free-loving people everywhere. It's part of the blood oath says that you can never, and you must swear this on penalty of very painful and bloody death, that you will never, ever release any of the secrets of Masonry to a member of the profane, to somebody out there in the big world. But when you become a Mason, and as I did, I always ask questions wherever I go. I asked some hard questions, and I got nothing. There were no answers forthcoming. They looked me straight in the eye, and they said, I can't tell you.
How do you rectify what you're doing on this show with the oaths that you took saying that you can't do this?
Well, we've discussed this, and I have had some personal dilemmas that I've had to face, but I genuinely believe that when they do not tell me the whole truth about what I'm getting into, in fact, when they deliberately mislead me and deceive me about what I'm getting into, that must totally invalidate the contract or the oath of which I've sworn. It just cannot be any other way. They have lied, and I have been honest, and I have been forthcoming to them, but they have not returned it as such.
And many of you are wondering if that's his real name. No, it is not. We protect CADGI members. We never tell anyone how many CADGI members we have, where they're at, what their names are, anything. None of that information is given out, not even to other CADGI members. Now, we use the code name or the pseudonym of William Morgan simply because the name William Morgan is significant in the past of the secret society called Freemasonry. William Morgan was murdered by Freemasons after having revealed, printed in a book, some of the secrets of the Lodge, and this was done back in the 1800s. Of course, the Fraternity of Freemasons denies that they murdered William Morgan. However, their version differs significantly from the official version and from the proof and the evidence that we have spent many, many hundreds of man hours digging up. Will, welcome back to the Hour of the Time.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really proud and happy to be here and doing what I'm doing.
You know, I don't think a lot of people realize that you're risking your life by doing this. The oaths that you have taken, albeit because they were fraudulent, you thought that you were making an oath to the God of the Bible, and in fact you were making an oath to Lucifer, which nullifies those oaths, but they still, the Brotherhood, the Order, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, could still carry out the threat of those oaths, which is murder. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct. No matter what I may personally feel about or what common law or the actual law may view about those oaths as taken, the Masons that are involved consider them to be absolutely applicable to any transgression. And they have been enforced, and the bloody punishments that are part of the oaths have happened to Masons before, and they will happen again, I'm sure.
Now, you are what degree? Let's get that out for the people in case we have some new listeners tonight. What degree are you?
I am a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction of the United States.
And what is the official title of that degree?
The official title is the Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret, and that is not only the title of the degree, it is also the title of the ritual that the degree is conferred to. And just to show you how important that is, after going through the ritual and getting the degree conferred upon me, I could neither remember anything sublime or even remember what the secret was that they told me.
Why is it that you couldn't remember the secrets of the degree?
Well, That's a bit of a long story, and I won't go entirely into it, but it started off the day I was conferred, began at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they just rushed through it. There was no memory work to do, as in the Blue Lodge, where a person has to memorize the ritual and then give it back. You just sit there and receive in an audience-like capacity. When it came to swearing the oath, you merely held up your hand and said, "I do." You also did take that oath on kneeling on one knee, as you did in the Blue Lodge.
Now, let's get into some of the ceremonies. How does this start? It begins in the Blue Lodge with the first degree of Entered Apprentice, and it goes up, and you've actually traversed 32 degrees of initiation. Are there side roads off of this?
It's a bit difficult. The Blue Lodge is where everything begins, and the Blue Lodge where Mason is initiated at is called the Mother Lodge from that time after, in specific reference to him personally. Now, once you get past the third degree, become a Master Mason in your Blue Lodge, you are able to hold an officer, or hold a chair as an officer inside the lodge, you can spend up to 10 years going through the chairs and become an officer. But after that, you can either go to the Scottish Rite or the Yorkish Rite. There's a fork in the road of Masonry, and the Scottish Rite is by far the most popular and undoubtedly the most powerful.
Now, the York Rite has 7 degrees. Is that true?
True. The highest of which being the Knight Templar degree. For all those people out there who think that the Knights Templar are in no way associated with Masons, you're dead wrong, and you haven't done your homework.
In fact, the Knights Templar, when they first began as an organization on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, were not an order commissioned or ordained or approved or even recognized by any church, much less the Catholic Church, but were, in fact, an order of the mysteries. They began with 7 degrees, and the 7th degree was the highest degree. And later, as they added degrees, when these the Knights Templar were persecuted and... in fact, many of them were put to death. Others were driven into hiding in other countries. And in some of the countries, they just changed their names and continued the order. They eventually reached a number of degrees, which was 33. And I took that right out of a very old textbook on the secret societies, which we'll talk about in a later program, and we'll get into that. But what is the significance that you've been told of the system of degrees? Why do you have to go through this?
It's considered a road. It's considered a road to quote-unquote illumination. I really believe that it's more of a system of control and self-government. Lodges are pretty unique in America in that they are self-sustaining and self-governing, even with their own bit of enforcement. All lodges have been granted a charter from a Grand Lodge, and every Grand Lodge in this country has been granted a charter from the United States government to operate on its own and enforce its own laws and constitutions. If a police officer or any law enforcement officer walks into a lodge while in session, he not only does he not have arrest power, but that lodge immediately closes.
Now, this is something the American people don't know about. Now, if these are lodges, they're in states, they have nothing to do with the federal government. How could they receive a charter from the federal government saying that they're under their own laws? And how could it be the law enforcement officer would not have the authority to arrest or any of his other authorized duties in a Freemasonic lodge?
It beats the hell out of me, Bill. It's really a bit of a contradiction in terms. You have a government that has actually gone out and given government-type status to a completely in secret and, I think, subversive organization right under its own nose. The similar thing can be seen in the Mormon Church and in other secret societies that are not nearly so famous as Freemasonry itself.
It shows how secret government can be formed. It tells that these members of these secret societies literally have diplomatic immunity and can get away with whatever they want to get away with. Not only that, but they have their members sitting in the most powerful posts, both within society on local levels and local cities, local counties and state governments, in the higher echelons of the military, and they permeate all the positions of control within the bureaucracy of the federal government. So tell us what this charter is again.
It is it's a document put out by the federal government, and it can be any government in the world. To my knowledge, every government in the world has granted that has lodges in it, has granted a sovereign charter to the Grand Lodges under its jurisdiction. I really haven't done enough research to speak at length on the nature of the charter or what it exactly implies universally for Freemasonry, but I do know for a fact that a law enforcement officer, and we have many law enforcement officers in our lodge, from state troopers to policemen to military policemen, they're not cops when they walk into the lodge. They leave their power, their badges, and their guns outside, and they do so willingly. That's a pretty good example, but I think the best example comes from the Knights of Malta. And here's another one for you guys out there that haven't done your homework. I'm reading from the glossary of a book entitled Freemasonry, a celebration of the craft, which is put out by the craft itself, and it defines Knights of Malta as a Christian Masonic degree based upon the medieval Knights Hospitallers and emphasizing the Christian value, Christian virtues. Well, you can leave the Christian out if you like, but what's interesting about the Knights of Malta is they actually do have diplomatic immunity as an organization. They can bring goods in and out of this country without going through customs, and they cannot be arrested or they cannot be detained or charged with any crime by any law enforcement officer in the country. They're above sovereign. As far as I know, they're above most government officials that are in the land.
That's a fact, and they actually carry diplomatic passports. I know several people, personally, who are members of the Knights, the Sovereign Order, the Military Knights of Malta, and they carry diplomatic passports and are, they began as citizens of the United States of America. Now, what happens when a police officer, and most police officers we have discovered, are at least the ones who make a law enforcement a career, and most, if not all, judges sitting upon benches in this country are Freemasons. What happens when you're speeding down a highway and you're stopped by a law enforcement officer? What happens when he sees the Masonic emblem on your windshield?
Usually what you have is a direct turnaround in attitude. I myself am a young man. I get hassled by cops a little bit. It seems like they always have cop an attitude when they pull me over, but when they see the Masonic square and compasses on my car, and most importantly when I flip out my dues-paying card, a card that all dues-paying Masons carry, the police officer, well, let me just put it this way, I've never once got a speeding ticket or a traffic ticket or have even been harassed in any way when they have known that I am a Mason. It just has not happened. That is my personal experience.
So the justice system in this country doesn't really work, and Freemasons are, in effect, exempt from the laws that the rest of us are supposed to follow. Is that true?
Yeah, that could be probably construed as accurate, Bill. Although I disagree, it does work. It just doesn't work the way most people think it works. It works for them and with them and around them, and it works on the rest of you.
That's right. Now, what happens when a Freemason goes into court against someone who's not a Freemason and the judge is a Freemason?
Okay, well, you have a very subtle interaction that goes on. All Masons are taught secret signs and secret words and secret phrases and this is some of the most, this is what they don't want revealed more than anything else. You can stand in a particular position, you can hold your arms in a particular position, you can speak certain words, the widow's son, traveling man, keywords and phrases that will let this judge know that you are a Mason. And you can almost guarantee that he is a Mason too, or else he wouldn't have been able to lock down a lasting career in the judiciary.
That's correct. And that would explain why some people just don't seem to ever get prosecuted for anything, and others who may commit the same crime or a much lesser offense seem to be inordinately punished, given such a heavy burden of punishment, while others who have done the same thing receive either nothing or a pat on the wrist.
Well, brothers look out for each other. It's just the way the system works. It's a buddy system. It's a you scratch my back, I scratch yours. As a matter of fact, in the oath that a Mason swears, he swears that he will uphold and defend a Mason, a fellow Mason, in any problem that he may encounter, treason and murder alone excepted, but they left at their election, which means that even if a fellow Mason is a traitor to his country, we know that could never happen, he's a traitor to his country, his brother Mason has his own choice whether he wants to turn him in or not. He is not obligated to do so, and obeying the laws of Masonry above the laws of the land, he's probably not even going to consider it.
So, in other words, one way of infiltrating and controlling our society and our government, both on a local, state, and national level, and the military, is for one of the Freemasons to get into a position where he can then appoint or hire Freemasons below him. When people come to apply for that job, who gets the job?
That's self-explanatory. The Mason will get the job every time. Another part of the oath is that you will look out for the interest of your brother Masons in whatever capacity they may be in. In fact, it could probably be construed that not giving the job to a brother Mason would bring serious repercussions if discovered inside the lodge, and may even be a violation of the oath.
There you go, folks. All of you who've been telling me that I'm full of crap and that I don't know what I'm talking about, and that they haven't infiltrated and appointed their members below them and literally taken over all levels of society, both local, state, and federal, and the military, you just heard it from the lips of a 32nd degree Freemason. That is exactly how they do it, and that is exactly what has been done. You have to understand that since this country was conceived and brought into reality, Freemasons have controlled it, and their goal always from the beginning was to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government. Our forefathers knew full well the foibles of human nature, and this country was described in their own words as the great experiment, and the experiment, folks, was to find out if we truly could be responsible, could rule ourselves, would not give in to the foibles of human nature and give our country and our individual freedoms and rights away. But they knew when they did it that that's exactly what would happen, because they were probably the best at understanding human nature of anyone that I've ever read. And I've read all of their writings and letters and works and the Federalist Papers and everything else that they've done. And they knew full well that this people would give away what they built. And they knew that if we could be responsible, if we would not be apathetic, if we would not cave in to the desires of socialism, to the weaknesses of human nature, that this would have been the New World Order. We have failed, not them. They gave us every chance, folks. So don't get mad at our forefathers. Would you concur with what I've just said?
I couldn't argue with you, and I wouldn't want to start an argument with you, Bill. I have heard higher-level Masons refer to the United States in their writings and in person as a Mason nation. It is erected by them. If you look at the signers of the Declaration of Independence, if you look at the forefathers, you'll see who was involved at the very beginning of this thing. And I'm not saying that all our forefathers are bad or evil. They certainly are not. They created the greatest nation ever known to man. But some of them were Illuminati, and there's no denying that. The course that they set us upon was, in the end, self-defeating for us.
As you heard for yourself, this 32nd degree Freemason basically confirms all I have been revealing about the Lodge. He confirms that the Freemasons truly follow Lucifer because he is the light bearer who led humanity to the forbidden knowledge. This was confirmed by Albert Pike himself in a book that I actually own called Morals and Dogma. The Masons see Lucifer as their teacher, teaching them how to rebel and become illuminated. The 32nd degree Mason also talks about the oath Freemasons take, that if broken is punishable by death. The Masons take oaths several times per degrees that have different punishments if broken. They also take an oath to protect each brother. The 32nd degree Mason states that this is especially present in the judicial system, with most judges and high-level policemen being members of the Freemasons. He claimed that Masons are obligated to protect fellow Mason brothers, meaning that if a judge is a Freemason and the person being tried is a Freemason, the judge would not punish the Mason brother and actually help them out of the situation. I actually just made a whole video about why NBA Youngboy is always set free from prison no matter what he does. Like I explained, he's a Freemason. This is why he always gets a break. Same thing with Young Thug, who openly admits that he's a Freemason, and it's why he beats all of his cases.
I'm a Mason. I beat all my cases.
This is also something Hollywood has openly revealed in one of their old TV shows from the 90s. In the show News Radio, they revealed that Freemason judges protect Freemason brothers. In season 3, episode 15, they literally openly reveal it and use the real word for the Master Masons, which is Tubocaine, as the code that Masons tell judges to be set free.
That all federal, state, and local judges are members of a certain obscure sect of the Freemasons.
Now, hold on. Our strategy is that all judges are Masons?
There's more to it than that.
Like what?
Well, there's a secret Masonic word which, when uttered, obligates judges to rule in your favor. Then they have to go paddle each other off in a secret cave somewhere.
Damn. Come on, Joe, give it up.
Tubal-Cain.
Tubal-Cain?
Tubal-Cain? What the hell does that mean? I have no idea.
Master Builder awaits the pyramids.
I beg your pardon?
I bet you do.
Do you have anything to say in your defense?
Tubal-Cain?
I hereby find in favor of the guy for the journey.
This show didn't hide the truth at all. They confirmed that Masons are obligated to look out for other Masons. Now look at people like Young Thug and NBA Youngboy, two men I have exposed as Freemasons, and tell me their Masonic alliance isn't what has kept them out of prison. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but this is how the world works, and it isn't fair. It is rigged only to benefit those who are initiated. This 32nd degree Mason also confirmed the mission of a new Masonic world order, confirming that it will be a Masonic utopia at the price of the uninitiated. The uninitiated will build this Masonic empire and won't even realize it. They will do it for crumbs, and they have been doing it all this time. This 32nd degree Mason risked a lot by stating all of this. I have no idea how this ended up for him. I myself try not to reveal information that would make me a target, but I am not a Mason and I didn't take any oaths, so I don't owe these people any loyalty. But I do know that if I go deep into these things on YouTube, they would probably deplatform me for exposing the truth. That's why I always tell you guys to support me on Patreon, and I try to keep videos that are too deep on that platform. This video might get blocked, removed, or simply suppressed for what I am revealing. This is why it's up to us to spread this video by sharing it and sending it to others. Even if other people aren't interested in this, at least you try to show them the truth. This is why I always say that every day we wake up, our souls are at stake, and we must remember to help those who can't see the truth find the truth. Well, that's it for this video, but before you guys go, I would like to politely ask you to subscribe if you're not. Please like, comment, and share this video so we can get it seen by everyone who needs to see it. I want to thank you all for watching, and I'll see you guys in the next one.